Evening, it's good to have this opportunity. And with the scripture just read, you may be wondering where I'm going with this lesson this evening. And I'm wondering the same thing, honestly, because I gave him the wrong scripture. So that's my bad. Needless to say, I'm a little nervous. I haven't been up here in a while. But I really do enjoy opportunities like this, getting a chance to come up and speak, because I grew up in a family full of women. And if you know anything about women, they like to talk. And so I've never had a lot of time to talk. So times like these, I just get to talk to y'all, and you guys have to listen. So it's kind of nice to have that chance. But the scripture I meant to have read was Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. So I'll read that now if you guys want to turn over there. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. You are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, something I've been realizing more and more lately, especially as I go through college, and, you know, I feel like I'm getting wiser, but I still see what my aunts and uncles and grandparents do, and they just shake their heads at some of the stuff I do. So it's partial wisdom that I have and I'm gaining that our influence and our example is one of the most powerful things we have to use as far as getting the message out and helping other people see God's way. And by that, I mean the way we uphold ourselves and the way other people see us is something that if we are not careful about, they can perceive what we do in a wrong way. And really, it's important. What I'm trying to say is it's important to set a good example to other people, to the people of the world, so that we can be blameless in the sight of God and in their sight as well. If they see us and the example we set, and if we uphold a good example like what Christ set for us, then we'll be able to reach out to them in a more efficient manner. But so one of the things that I noticed, especially after my sisters left, was that the examples that we set and the examples that, or at least we try to set, come from examples that were set for us. And by that, I mean like our parents and our grandparents and people in the congregation, teachers, all those people, they set examples for us each and every day by what they do. And those people are very influential in our lives. And even if you don't think you influence someone, or even if you don't think anyone follows what you do or pays attention to you, there's someone, some little kid or some adult that can be encouraged by what you do, or adversely, they can be discouraged by what you do. So we have to be careful about how we uphold ourselves, especially around people who we influence, even if we don't know it. I really started to realize this when I was living up at West Point, the military academy, and the cadets there, they set a really good example, especially for the just the kids living on the base. And each and every day we'd see them out early, getting up early, working hard, even if they had a lot on their plate, especially with school and stuff like that. Because a lot of times they had tests almost every day, especially during, it's called T week, which is test week. But they had to work really hard because they had to keep their physical strength up, they had to keep their mental strength up, and they had to gain skills that would benefit them for their career in the Army. So they had to do all that stuff at the same time. And seeing them being able to do that would at least give me the encouragement and the hope that what I have going on, all the troubles and everything I have going on right now, it's not that bad compared to what they deal with each and every day. So that's one of the examples in my life that has really influenced me, because it's allowed me to overcome a lot of obstacles and endure a lot of hardships that way. Another, probably one of the most common examples, is our parents. You know, each and every day, we have generations and generations of families here. We have my grandparents, we have my aunts and uncles, we have the cousins, and I have the cousins, but we have generations of family, and we have families over here. We just have families everywhere. And seeing the families here shows how much the grandparents have influenced the parents. The parents have influenced the children, and hopefully the children will influence their grandchildren and keep on going down the line. We just have generations of families in the church. But one of the biggest things my dad always said, and that's influenced me so much in my life, is whenever he would talk to me about school, or whether it was I need to start preparing for the future, stuff like that, he said, no matter what comes first, you always gotta put God in front of everything, and then think about where you want to go to school around the situation of a church or something like that. And just seeing him put God first in all he does, it's really encouraging to me, and it really influences me in that way too, because he did that for a lot of his life. He was Baptist, my mom helped convert him, and now seeing him and everything he does with the churches he goes to, it really encourages me and influenced me to try to do as much as I can to live up to the standard he set. So there's that. And then a lot of you know my sisters too. Now, when I came down here, I wasn't too sure how it would be like living with two sisters after I'd gotten rid of them. So it was kind of came as a surprise to me how much they influenced my life. And this is what I'm talking about when just, and sisters, as far as me, my actual sisters, but as far to you guys, it was your spiritual sisters. And seeing how they influenced all of you, and how when they left, how, I wouldn't say emotional, but how strong a connection you guys had, and how sorry you guys were to see them leave. It really opened my eyes to how much of an impression they made on the congregation here. And so they set examples for me each and every day. And I didn't really realize it till after they were gone, because they would wake up super early and they'd have to go and do stuff. I'd have to drive my sister to the hospital, my other sister to school. And then I would just end up sleeping until I had class. But the thing they taught me was a little bit of responsibility. And their responsibility kind of, I guess, wiped off on me a little bit. So there's that. But the more important aspect was seeing their activities in the church and the congregation, volunteering to do Bible classes or prepare communion, stuff that they could do. It was really encouraging to me to see how active they were in the church and the congregation. So that's another example for me, and I guess it could be for you guys as well, that really influenced my life. But, and the last kind of group, I would say, of examples, or people who could give examples, is teachers. Now, teachers have the ability to either positively or negatively affect you. Well, everyone has the tendency to positively or negatively give you a good or bad example. But teachers, if they seem to be uninterested in topic, then oftentimes they can make their students lose motivation to learn. So, and this is something that my sister, because she was a student teacher over at Darby, So she kind of she tried really hard. That's what I'm trying to say. She tried really hard at what she did. And even though the students didn't all the time respond positively to that, they were always interested, and a lot of them really liked her, and they were sad when they left. So being a teacher is another opportunity to set an example for someone. But being in church, being a sermon and all, got it tied in spiritually. So we can be spiritual examples for each other too. We either good or bad, depending on how we uphold ourselves and how we deal with situations. Titus 1:16 says, "They profess to know God, but deny Him in their works." And if we come to church each day and we just sit in a pew and listen to the sermon and go home and go about our lives like nothing happened, then are we really being good examples to those around us? Are we upholding the standard that Christ has set for us? I would tend to say no, because there's a lot more that we can do, either in the community each and every day, or here at church even, volunteering or doing what needs to be done, even if it's behind the scenes and no one recognizes it. So, Jesus being the perfect example was really good for us to demonstrate everything that we need to do in life to be good Christians and what we needed to do to get to heaven. And as I said earlier, my dad saying that God comes first in everything, my entire family, has taught me about God from a really young age, about heaven and how to get there, what I need to do. And they didn't just teach me through words or through textbooks or lesson books or the Bible, but they taught me through their actions and how they dealt with each other. When someone was in trouble or someone got in trouble, did something wrong, they wouldn't just make them feel really bad. They would help them to learn what they did wrong, help them to learn why it was wrong, help them to not do it again in the future. And it's things like those that really help influence me and teach things like that that I've learned from in my past that have made me kind of who I am today. And yeah. So back to the scripture reading, Matthew, starting back in verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And so we are all lights in the world. Whether we want to or not, our example is seen by the people of the world. And when we go out from here and when we interact with the world or whatever we're doing, people of the world are seeing what we do. And whether they know you're a Christian or whether they know you're not one, they can kind of judge for themselves what kind of person you are. And that's not always the best thing, because some people are really quick to judge. And we're told, judge not lest you be judged, but it's something that the world is very often, or us as people are very quick to do, is to judge each other and to write each other off as, you know, oh, he does this, so he must not be that great a person. Or, oh, he does this, he must be a really good person. So, I mean, we ourselves have to be careful about that, but we also have to be careful about how other people see us in the world as we our actions affect how they see us. Titus chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 10. It talks a little bit about teaching sound doctrine. So Titus chapter 2, 1 through 10 says, "But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine, Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a good model, to be a model of good works. Then your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. And so, here we see a big part of teaching isn't just the words we speak to each other. It's not just how we display our knowledge of the Bible and our knowledge of how to get to heaven and stuff like that. But it's, we can teach each other by the examples we set for each other, how we uphold ourselves in the congregation and outside of the worship service, whether it's by meeting up or doing something as a group to benefit other people. We can set positive examples for each other. Adversely, we can set negative examples for each other too, whether we have our church group. This is something that, especially with high schoolers, I remember, it was, you have your church friends and then you have your school friends. And you kind of keep a wall up between them, and if they ever meet, it gets really awkward because you got to kind of put on a different mask for each group. But that's something that just shouldn't be done, because with that, it's, you got to decide which self, in a way, is your true self. Are you the church-going person? Are you the school person that everyone at school thinks you are? And that's something that, if you let happen, society, if you have that godly self and that worldly self, and you try to get out in the world and teach people about God, if people know your worldly self, then they can kind of, it talks about that the word of God may not be reviled. They can revile you and kind of throw what you say back in your face, like, oh, you did this, but you said you're not supposed to do that. So kind of make yourself a hypocrite in a way. But so, and going back to not being able to be reviled, the qualification, one of the qualifications for an elder is to be above reproach. And so that being not to give people a chance to accuse you of sin. That's how I kind of take it in a way. And it's not just something for elders, but it's something for all of us, because like I was saying, if you're not above reproach and you give people a chance to an opening to find fault in what you teach, if they truly want to, if they truly don't want to believe in what you're saying, then they can use that against you, and they can find fault in your teachings, and, you know, leads to hypocrisy and all that. And so it will negatively affect your influence on the people around you. So, and in the teen class this morning, we talked a little bit about how people can jump to conclusions. One of the examples that was brought up was, what if someone went to a bar, but they were ordering pizza? And the thing is about that is, if you go into a bar and order pizza, has someone from church just walking down the street, seeing you coming out of a bar, how do they react to that? They see you coming out of a bar, they don't, or going into a bar even, they don't see you ordering pizza. They see the idea of a bar comes with drinking, and so they see that in you, and that can adversely affect, that can be a negative example on them, even if you may not be drinking, even if it's just for pizza. So we got to be careful what we do and how we act. Even if it's could be something innocent, people can take it in a way that is negative and could lead to be a bad example. So, now this was the Mark passage I meant to have read. So Mark 3, 1 through 6. It says, "Again he entered the synagogue. A man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they may accuse him. He said to them, 'The man with the withered hand, come here.' He said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. He said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately, held counsel with the Herodians against him, and how to destroy him." So even though Jesus did nothing wrong, the idea of that the Pharisees had about you're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath gave them an incorrect, some incorrect ammunition against Jesus. Even though he did nothing wrong, they were looking for something to attack him with. And that's kind of what I'm getting at when I say our example can be used against us. And so if we teach one thing and do another, even if we didn't actually do anything wrong, it can be taken in a way that people would think us to be sinful. And that's what I mean about being above reproach, is not giving anyone a chance to think we are sinful or we do anything sinful. And my last point is, on Wednesday night, Ron talked about how we can plan our responses ahead of time to certain situations, and how we can choose how to handle them so that we don't have to decide in the spur of the moment and we're not just relying on our emotions, but by planning ahead of time, we rely on our knowledge of God and how that will help us in turn set good examples, and that spur of the moment emotional response doesn't lead us to make bad choices or have a set a bad example for the people around us. And it kind of helps us avoid that. He did like that argument people use where they say, so-and-so did this, so it must be okay, or so-and-so did this, or and he said no one's supposed to do it, so he must be not teaching the truth. And it helps us avoid that, and it's just good advice in general. But to conclude the lesson, Jesus is our perfect example. He is sinless and blameless, and he has came here to save us and to redeem us of our sins, because we aren't sinless yet. We're sinful beings, and everyone's sin fallen short. So by striving to reach his example, we in turn will set good examples for each other, and then setting good examples for each other will lead to other people to set good examples, and it's kind of could set off a chain reaction in an ideal world of setting good examples and being holy and blameless in the sight of God. But you can't expect anyone to do what we say if we don't do it ourselves. That's kind of the main point I'm trying to get across, is do what you want other people to do. If you want other people to be good and be blameless in the sight of God, and you don't do that yourself, and you go around and you sin all the time, then don't expect people to follow your example, or even don't expect people to end up having a good example of their own, because Whether you want to or not, there are people who look up to you and who see your example and are influenced by you. And it might not be obvious and it might not be very extreme, but even the tiniest things can lead to a good example being led by for someone else. So tonight, I want to invite you, if you haven't been setting a good example, or if you haven't been doing what you're supposed to be doing as far as a child of God, or if you want to set an example and you want to be saved for the redemption of your sins, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.